Mark chapter 6, verse number 30, the Bible says, the apostles gathered themselves together to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. We talked about this the other night when they came to Jesus and they said, even the devils come out in your name. And he told them, don't rejoice about that. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven. But I just wanted to come back to this verse and say, isn't it exciting to talk about what God is doing through us when we come together? You know, if we're telling people about Jesus, it's exciting to share, hey, somebody got saved this week because I shared Jesus Christ with them. It's exciting to share when, you know, the reports that come in from the visits that we make and when we're helping people. Again, we're not talking about bragging, trying to get points because you did the work, but it's exciting to talk about that what God is doing in our lives. But in order for it to be exciting about what God is doing in our lives, we've got to let God do something in our lives. We've got to let God use us to minister to other people. When they came together, man, they were just talking about what a great time they were having serving God. In verse number 31, Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. We're in that season, aren't we? It's time for everybody to take a weekend off and go away. Go somewhere, and whether it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend, right? Sounds like a song we sing. We can have all kind of excuses why not to be at church, but guys, sometimes it's necessary for us to take time and get away. We need rest. I need rest. You need rest. Everybody needs a break from the everyday. So don't feel like you can't get away because, you know, well, I've got church. Yeah, but you still need to be able to take a break every once in a while. Now, if you can do it Monday through Friday, do that and be back on Sunday. But if not, you know, you got to take some time off and get away and refresh yourself. Even Jesus, not just did Jesus do it, Jesus commanded that the apostles do it. He said, take a break. You've got to rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. I mean, they couldn't even sit down and eat without somebody needing something. How many of you feel like that, moms, right? Every mom in here knows what that's about. And we just, there's never a break. It'd be nice to be able to go to the bathroom without somebody following you in there, wouldn't it? But that's just the way it is in that stage of our lives. And if you have a dog or a cat, you know the feeling anyway, don't you? They had no leisure, not even so much as to eat. Verse 32, they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They said, look, they can't all follow us if we get on a ship and go across the water. And it's a desert place. There's no reason for anybody to go there. How many of you grew up in a town like that? There's just no reason for people to go there. And they said, "This, if we're going to go anywhere and get away, nobody will know us. Nobody will care. Let's go to this place." Verse 33, and people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot there out of all cities, and out went them and came together to them. I mean, they got on a boat to get away from them, and those people ran and got there first. Isn't that crazy? And they said goodbye. And then when they got to get off the ship, there they were saying, hello. I mean, they just couldn't get away. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like no matter what happens, if maybe you're running a business or you're a manager in some company or something, and it just seems like you can't get away from work. And Jesus and the apostles were experiencing that. They just could not get a break. Guys, again, we've got to get a break. You've got to be able to turn your phone off or put it away. Right? I think that's why they went to a desert place, because there weren't any cell phones there. Right? No cell towers out there. We got to go there and get away. And nobody will bother you. Nobody will call. So let's do that. Verse number 34. And when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. And he was angry that they had invaded his vacation. Is that what it says in your Bible? Not what it says in mine either. You know what it says? It says he loved them. He had compassion. You know, as we talk about those children following us everywhere, But you know why they do that? Because they love you. And they need you. That's why they do it. And these people that follow Jesus, they needed him. They didn't want to be apart from him. I'm sure that they understood deep down that even Jesus needed a break. But they needed him so much. You know, I encourage you, again, take a vacation, but don't take a vacation from prayer. Don't take a vacation from Bible study. If you're going to take a vacation, if you can find a good church, and they're hard to find. I know I go other places, but they're hard to find. But if you can find a good church, don't take a vacation from going to church. We need to be in God's house. We need to be among God's people. You know, the singing, and isn't it great to be able to sing hymns and praise and rejoice and worship God? Don't take a vacation from that. Take a vacation, by all means, but don't leave God behind. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. Isn't that incredible? They needed him, so they had no direction in their lives. You want to know what the biggest problem is? We can attack all the little things along the way that have, you know, caused the corrosion of our society, but I could tell you why children join gangs. Because they want to belong somewhere. You want to know why they follow people that they shouldn't follow? Because they need direction. You want to know why they go into places where they shouldn't go? It's because somebody doesn't have something deliberate, something purposed for them to do. They need direction. Children need boundaries. And not only children, but we're talking about here as adults, because when they don't get it as children and we don't become leaders, then we're always looking for somebody to lead us. You know, one thing. Leaders, because each one of us, when we go out those doors, is supposed to be leading people to God, leading people to heaven, leading people to Jesus, giving them the answers, being the one that they call for prayer, for instruction in the Bible, to have clarity of what the Scripture says. We've got to be studying. We've got to be developed as leaders because the world needs direction. You know what they're trying to do? You know why they paint their hair all different colors and get into all these different fads and all these... I know our parents did it and their parents did it. Every generation. But guys, those are the indicators. Purple hair is not the problem. Your hair will come back to its normal color, hopefully. Right? And the piercings will close up. You know, we look at these things and we criticize these things. Guys, all that stuff will correct itself. But we've got to deal with the heart. Don't get caught up on the outside. Don't get so offended by what's on the outside, what's outside the norm. But those things that are outside the norm are indicators for what's outside the heart. What's going on inside the heart. And we've got to get them, we've got to make them feel loved and appreciated, valued. We've got to give them some way to be involved. I'm speaking at camp in a couple of weeks, and so I start to look back on my life, you know, when I was a teenager, when I was a young boy, and why did I not get into all those things that other kids get into? What caused me to settle in with God? And of course, you have to look at the people around you, the leadership in your life, your parents, your neighbors, your coaches, your teachers, your ministers, all of those things. You know, in our church, we didn't have a youth pastor like we do here. We didn't have the children's activities like we do here. But there was good direction and involvement early on in my life. If you come to church, get saved. If you're not saved, now's the time. Get baptized, become part of the church. But then you've got to take ownership. What is the job of the church? You say, well, there's nothing for me to do at church. No, the work's not here. The work's out there. It's among your friends, your family, your neighbors, your peers. Telling them about Christ and simply saying, one of my guys got saved last week. And he didn't come tell me about it, but I saw it on Facebook and I congratulated him when I saw him on Monday. And he said, yeah, it was, you know, kind of just one of those that got saved and got baptized and gave his heart to God. Now, when I talked to him ahead of that, he'd always told me, yeah, he believed in Jesus and had a relationship with Christ. But something happened. See, that's where the work takes place, is out there. We've got to give our testimony, talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives. And it makes a difference with people. It made a difference here. Those people needed direction. They needed Jesus. They came to Jesus. He was moved with compassion. And he began to teach them many things. What did they need? It didn't say he gave them money. It doesn't say he made them rich. It said he taught them. Guys, when we open up our minds and our hearts to God, we learn so much about this life. And there's a lot of stuff being taught today that's not biblical. We need to be in this book. We need to know what the Bible says. You come to this church, and you go to churches all across the world, and they'll give you a lot of psychology, won't they? That's good. You know what we need? We need this. We need the Word of God. And every line. Verse 35, the day was now far spent. His disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away. Well, did you notice that they didn't offer to leave? They didn't think they should go. They thought the other people should go. Y'all should go, but I should stay. Isn't that the way people are? When they start to exclude, if you talk about the rapture, there are a lot of teachings along the years about a different type of rapture. And the rapture, if you don't understand, is when the Lord calls our name and we go to heaven. And not in death, but in rapture. Like happened to Elijah and Enoch and Jesus in the ascension. And so when we go to heaven without dying, all of us together. And then there were ideas that came along and said, well, that's true, but it's only going to be those who are in the bride or those who are in the church, those who are baptized members of the church. But you know, the people that taught that, they were always baptized members of the church. And said, well, it's not just members of the church. It's going to be only those who are really serving God when the rapture happened. But you know, everybody I ever talked to that believed in what we call a bridal rapture, all of them believed they were part of it. We get to the point where we exclude everybody except ourselves. The apostles did the same thing. Lord, send them away. Because it's time to eat. And they didn't bring food. How much food did y'all bring? There's 12 of you. And with Jesus, that's 13. How much did they bring? You remember? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, how would you, 12 of you, let's get together, have lunch. We're going to have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Is that enough to fill you up? They didn't have enough for themselves. And they're criticizing these people. Look at what it says. They did not bring anything. Time is now past. Verse 36, send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he didn't say, and we don't have enough to feed ourselves. Send them away. And Jesus' answer in verse 37 is, give ye them to eat. Feed them. I've noticed that when God reveals to me a need, a burden, he's showing me because he wants me to have part in it. He wants me to do something about it. I've seen people who God gives them a burden and they start telling everybody else how they can help. There's nothing wrong with involving other people in our ministry. But if God gives you a burden, lead in that resolution. Lead in solving the problem. Lead. Get in front of it. Say, I'm the one. I'll be out front. If God gives you a burden for battered wives, then you take the lead. Or for the homeless, then you take the lead. Or for drug addiction, you take the lead. Or for alcohol, you take the lead. But if God gives you a burden, don't say, well, I think we ought to have this at the church and then get somebody else to do it. God gave you the burden, lead. Well, I don't know how, then pray about it. Do some research, ask some people, and involve some other people. But if God gave you the burden, lead. They came to Jesus, they said, God, Lord, get them out of here because they're going to get hungry and we don't have enough to feed them. Jesus said, feed them. Why? What is your idea? You're the one who had the idea they were hungry, give them something to eat. What do you have? Verse 38, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Verse 39, Jesus commanded them to make everyone sit down by companies upon the green grass. I like the fact that Mark tells us it was green grass. You notice that? You ever see that in the Bible? Like, he just threw that in there. It's green grass. sit on the grass, the green grass. Verse 40, they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken five loaves and two fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed it, break it, and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, verse 42, and were filled. How many of you can relate to that? They were filled. You ever been full? They ate enough. They didn't say, well, I'll just take a... You know, a lot of times, if there's not enough, what do? Well, we let everybody else eat first. We had the lunch yesterday, and there was only one pecan pie there. Oh, I don't know about that. So I went around and took that pie around to everybody and said, who wants pecan pie? Brother Jimmy, I tell you what happened. They got all but one piece. Because you know I ate that last piece. But I want to make sure everybody else got, because that's what we do as leaders, right? We make sure everybody else eats before we eat. That's what moms do. They make sure everybody else gets something to eat before they eat. I hear that testimony over and over in my life about people's moms. Everybody else eats first, and then mom eats. And so he fed them. They all got full. When we look at verse number 43, it says they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. 12. What is that? What would that remind you of? 12. 12. 12. 12 apostles. Yes. Y'all got to talk louder than that. 12 apostles. 12 apostles show up with five bread, five loaves, and two fish, not enough to feed 12, and each of them walks away with a basket full of food. Isn't that incredible? They had so much at the end, but they didn't have much to give, but they walked away full. That's the way it is in leadership. That's the way it is in ministry. That's the way it is in serving. I want to ask you to raise your hand, but if you've ever talk to somebody about how to be saved and they accepted Christ as their Savior, it's the most exhilarating sense you'll ever have. If you go to someone and you say to them, do you know Jesus? And they say, I don't know what you mean. And you say, look, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That God sent Jesus to die on the cross, and Jesus lived a perfect life and ministered and served, and then he died on the cross and his blood was shed because he is the Lamb of God that was given as a sacrifice to wash away your sins. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to righteousness. God wants you to be born again. God wants to know your eternity in heaven. He wants you to know that you're saved. And the Bible says this, we can know that we have eternal life. You see, it's not one of these gambles that we take. Well, maybe he'll forgive me. Maybe I'll be good enough. Maybe I'll not sin before I get to heaven after I get saved. It's not a gamble. Because once we put our faith in Christ and God writes our name in the book of life, our sins are washed away. So how do I do it? If you believe that God loves you and will forgive you and sent Jesus to wash your sins away, you could pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus as my Savior. And I put my faith in you and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. You know, if you'll pray that prayer, you'll be born again. Old things passed away. All things become new. Do you understand how to tell somebody to do that? Because that's how you got saved. That's how everybody gets saved. Not exactly the same words, but the same process. You can tell people how to be born again. And once you do, and then they get saved, they pray and ask God to forgive their sins. Their name's written in the book of life, and they're going to heaven. And that excites us. That's the most exciting thing there is. But you know why? Because it is the principal purpose of the church. People say, well, the principal purpose of the church is to glorify God. How better to glorify God than to bring another one home? To be born again? They gather the 12 baskets, more than they had when they started. And then verse 45, straightway he constrained his disciples, get in the ship, go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. So we tried this once, guys. Right? You got on a ship and you went across, and when you got off the boat, they were already there waiting for you. We're going to try it again. Get on the ship and try it. You know, and here's the thing, what Peter probably would have said, because we see him say this before, Lord, we tried it already. It didn't work last time. But sometimes it doesn't work. And we got to do it again. We got to try again. We got to try different. But don't give up. Don't quit. Jesus said, y'all get on the ship. Go across. I'm going to stay here, send everybody home, and I'll join you. And he did. We didn't read it, but as soon as he got the last ones departed from that place, the Bible says he went into a mountain apart to pray. I believe it's in verse 45, verse 46. You know why? Because even Jesus needed to refresh himself. Guys, you give so much. You do so much. But you need a break too. Take a break. Take a rest. Catch your breath. Enjoy yourself. But don't take a break from God, from His Word, or from prayer. Now, after Jesus came down from the mountain, He walked on water. He walked right.